When Doug called me to ask me if I'd share my story, I was a little bit hesitant because, to use an analogy that my buddy Greg says, there's a group of us on this board who referred ourselves as the Rudies of the world. We didn't find companies. We don't change physicians saving lives. We're not U.S. or state senators. We're not Hollywood actresses. But we're everyday Tar Heel fans who were avid fans from the start. And after talking with Doug, he convinced me that there's a place for the stories of the Rudies, too. So just like Rudy was put in at the end of his game for his time in the spotlight, I've been temporarily thrust into the spotlight towards the end of my time here on this board. I admittedly was fortunate to be born into a wonderful gene pool of avid Tar Heel fans. My father was a Tar Heel graduate, my mother a graduate, all my siblings were graduates, and many other family members. Many is not an understatement. Here is a list of my family members who have attended UNC going back into the late 1800s. You might see the early names on the list are Woodson. My mother was a Woodson before marrying my dad. That's page one. And there's page two. And there's, There's page three. I'm going back to page one. I've highlighted a couple guys because Nelson Woodson, a cousin, and my uncle Dale Holderness were both presidents of the General Alumni Association. So I'm proud of that going back. And then one other person, and within 3 years, 2 years of each other, interesting enough. Then one other note was Carolina Holderness graduated. That's family dedication. That's not a nickname. That's your real name. So was there any question on where she would go to college, which she did? You hear a lot about the Carolina family. We're a Carolina family unto ourselves, and I'd like to petition, since I'm about to roll off the board, that maybe we can create a new seat for representation of the Holderness-Woodson families. I grew up coming to Chapel Hill, going to football and basketball games. My father unfortunately died when I was young, but a couple years later, my mother remarried, and fortunately she remarried someone who was also a Carolina supporter, as well as NC State. But I spent a lot of Saturday afternoons coming to football games here in Chapel Hill, and then going to a football game in Raleigh, because this was before Keenan had lights. So I did a lot of double headers, but although I was over there, I was always a Tar Heel to the very core. I went to an all-boys high school at Woodbury Forest in Virginia, and I was so anxious to get to Chapel Hill that I set out to graduate a year early so that I could come here. Like Rudy, I knew where I wanted to go to school, but I was also willing to wait for it. If I hadn't gotten in after applying early my junior year, I would have waited, but fortunately I got in. It all worked out. I showed up in Chapel Hill in August 1975 as a 17-year-old freshman living in Granville Towers West. I followed my brother's footsteps and joined the fraternity of Phi Gamma Delta, where I met many of my lifelong friends, including Davy Davidson here. Also proud that many of y'all remember Jordy Whitchard. He was one of my pledge brothers and also my senior year roommate. He was a member of this board before his wife, Ann. Also, Johnny Kirkland represented the medical school on this board 2 years ago. He was a pledge. I was his pledge trainer. Fred Doolin, Phi Gam, so we're glad that our house has done good contributions to this board. My job while I was in college, I was a representative for Time Magazine, as well as a lot of other magazines, which was when you actually had to buy a magazine in order to read news before the internet. So I was the one that went all over campus putting those annoying cards everywhere. Bulletin boards under windshield wipers everywhere you could think of. It didn't make me a lot of money, but it made me enough to have spending money for Ken's Quickie Mart, The Shack, and late-night fine dining at Roy Rogers and Bradman's. My main mode of transportation at UNC was a great little Honda 125 motorcycle. Campus parking was tight then, just as it is now. My parking permit for the semester was $8. It got about 60 miles to the gallon, which was great, particularly in the gas shortage crisis of the 70s. But more importantly, I could take a date, sweet young Carolina date. The seats on little 125s were really small, so she'd have to snuggle in tight behind me, hold around my waist so she didn't fall off, and we'd go for rides on the country roads around Chapel Hill. Great, great mode of transportation. I'm convinced that motorcycle manufacturers could sell a lot more small motorcycles if they think of that marketing technique. I actually kept it after graduating, and I still had it when I got married to my wife, hoping that she, too, would want to snuggle up tight, But she said, no way she's getting on a motorcycle, so I sold it to some lucky beneficiary. My stepfather had passed away by this time. My mom didn't make it to many basketball games, or she let me take a date or friends, even if she did. So I split tickets with my sister, who was here and overlapping with me. I didn't miss many home games. I didn't have to do the time-honored tradition of waiting and camping out at the games in Carmichael. I also learned having season tickets made you really popular with friends and dates, something I've still carried over. A lot of friends keep in touch with me who want to go to basketball games, so basketball games is good. But I rarely missed a home basketball game, and it further developed the heels hoops passion that I still have today. Another little interesting tidbit was I earned my private pilot's license while at Carolina, taking lessons out at Horace Williams Airport. I was able to take my ground school instruction through signing up for an elective at ROTC, which was great because I didn't have to pay for ground school, and also knocked out an elective I enjoyed. I also found it's really easy to make a good grade in a class where your life depends upon your mastering the topic. I'm thankful that UNC contributed to leading to my eventual wife. I was a business major, and I was a good student, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do, though. I've always liked numbers. I've liked people. So I figured banking industry would be good to expose me to a number of different industries. And I figured I'd stay in state and go to work for one of the big four banks at that time, which were NCMB, Wachovia, First Union, and Northwestern Bank. But not having done any job interviews, I went to the Carolina Job Fair and signed up for an interview with First National Bank of Atlanta just to be kind of a practice session. So when I went to my, quote, real interviews, I wouldn't be a first-timer. Lo and behold, my interview went great. They flew me down to Atlanta for more interviews, and they went great. I decided if I didn't leave the state of North Carolina at that time, I probably never would. So I took the job in Atlanta. There I met a Georgia peach who had preceded me by a year, my wife Sherry Murphy from Albany, Georgia. She had gone to Auburn. We started dating after about a year and a half after I convinced her that an interoffice romance was actually fine since we worked in different departments. I exposed her to her first taste of Carolina fever in fall of 1980, when Carolina was to play Clemson in a big football game. We did have big football games in those days. All that was on Atlanta was Georgia football. This was when ESPN had just started up, and you didn't have all the cable sports networks to show every game of every conference. So I called around and found that the closest place that was showing that game was Anderson, South Carolina. About 10 of us loaded in the car for a road trip, rented a hotel room, piled into a room to watch Carolina beat Clemson at Clemson, of which our own Mike Chatham was on that team, ACC championship team. So she got a little bit of taste of what it meant to be a Tar Heel loyalist. 1 year later, heading up to Chapel Hill for the rematch, Clemson at Carolina, which was really a huge game because Clemson was number 2 in the country and we were number 8. That was a weekend I decided to propose to her. And unfortunately, although we lost the game on the field 10-8 to eventual national championship Clemson Tigers, we did finish number 9 in the country. Although the Heels lost on the field, I won in the stands because Sherry said yes, and we were married the next May after taking her to the Final Four in New Orleans that next year. As a UNC sophomore in 77, I went to Atlanta to watch a banged-up Phil Ford-led Tar Heels lose a heartbreaker to Al McGuire and Marquette. But since then, I've been to every Final Four that Carolina's been in, as well as a few others, 22 trips in all. Many of those trips the last 15 years have involved college buddies, Davey, and a couple other Phi Gams. College friendships are not for college days alone. And just 2 weeks ago, we were all down in Birmingham together for golf and football weekend, although we're spread out in Birmingham, Atlanta, and Davey and I both live in Greensboro. I have a number of Tar Heel memorabilia items, including a special one from the 1995 Southern Regional Finals in Birmingham that I wanted to briefly tell that story because our own Charlie McNary played in that. That team featured a quartet of powerful sophomores, Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, Jeff McGinnis, and our own Charlie McNary. They beat Georgetown and Allen Iverson in the Sweet 16 and then upset a Rick Pitino-coached Kentucky team that was overwhelming favorite to cut down the nets in Seattle. Unfortunately, UCLA did get those. But the team, and Charlie probably remembers it, didn't cut down the nets in Birmingham because they had said the real nets they wanted were in Seattle. I noticed that, and I got to work immediately, and within hours, I had both of those nets. Oh, wait, throw me that back. I'm not giving this away. I had both of those nets. I donated one to the basketball museum here in Chapel Hill. And here's another one. So, Charlie, if you want to touch it to bring back memories. You can wear it around your neck this afternoon if you're going to the game. But I do want it back. That was a great story. One other really funny story, and I'm going to talk fast because I was going to skip this story knowing we were tight on time. But, again, I heard something else.
You're good.
And I'm going to talk fast. This funny story relates to UNC basketball, my time here at Chapel Hill. And it demonstrates how even somewhat smart kids can do really, really stupid things. I mentioned that my freshman year I lived at Granville Towers, all-male dorm. My roommate was from Pennsylvania, and he was a bit wilder than I was. But after one night, after I'm sure a visit to Ken's to satisfy a thirst we had, he had a great idea. We lived on the fourth floor of Granville. The men's basketball team was on the third floor of Granville. And Kerry had a great idea to let's mess with somebody on the basketball team. And we said, okay, who are we going to pick? He said, let's mess with Dave Hanners, who I just heard is one of our nominees to represent the athletic position on this board. He was a senior. We were lowly, gangly freshmen, but he was a senior. Didn't get a lot of playing time, and Kerry decided, let's mess with him. So Granville Towers has a stairwell on the end of the building, outdoor stairwell, runs the height of the building. And I positioned myself with a trash can full of water. Kerry went down to Dave Hanner's door and pounded on enough to bother him. He chased him down the hall and up the stairwell. Right after Kerry passed me, I dumped that whole bucket of water on Dave Hanner's. It stunned him momentarily, enough time for me to hightail it behind Kerry and get to our room on the fourth floor and lock the door. The door is singing. We hear somebody mad outside. Hanner's is so mad at us. We feel very confident because we're behind a locked door. So, again, we might be a little bit inebriated, not thinking about logistics here. After a couple minutes, he went away. We're all laughing and having fun. After a couple more minutes, we hear noise at the door again. My roommate quickly retreated through the bathroom that shares rooms at Granville Towers to the other suite. I stay in the room feeling fully confident of that locked door. In comes Dave Hanners, still very, very wet and very, very mad. I'm shriveling on my bed, langly little freshman. He's standing over me, fist back, saying he's going to whip my butt or something to that effect in more colorful language. And in pure survivalist mode, I say, don't hit me, I'll tell Coach Smith, or something to that effect. Whatever I said, it worked, because he didn't hit me. I know it was hugely cowardly, but I was in survival mode at that point. So he didn't hit me, thinking it wasn't worth hitting this weak little freshman and possibly losing some playing time with Coach Smith. That was his senior year. So that went away, the rest of the story. Fast forward to New Orleans in 1993. We win the championship, Coach Smith's second championship. Dave Hanners is an assistant coach on that team. We're in the team hotel that night celebrating. I struck up the courage to go up to him and talk to him, introduce myself. I fessed up. I admitted I was the one that had doused him with water in Granville Towers back in 1976. He certainly remembered the story. Fortunately, he was still under Coach Smith at that time, so he didn't hit me then either. I bought him a beer. We shook hands and had a good laugh. But it's probably good I'm rolling off this board in case he does get elected, because Coach Smith isn't around anymore to punish him. So, anyway, I've always loved Carolina and served where I could through the years. It's been a pleasure to be on this GAA board, and I treasure the new friends I've made through this experience. I'm only sorry that I have just two meetings left after this one. Thanks to all for the opportunity to share my Carolina story. I know it's not as enthralling enough as Rudy's to warrant movie rights, but I hope it's entertained you for 10 minutes or so. The game clock hasn't run out of me yet, though, with two more meetings, so I'm glad the experience continues. This board is my winning Rudy team. We're all proud of Carolina, as we rightfully should be. Appreciate the opportunity to talk and serve with you, and go Heels.
Thank you, Hayes. That was terrific. That was great.